Alan.
Grez.
Here. And welcome to Rise of the Robots. Just before the start of the episode, just a quick reminder that if you want to hear our dulcet tones elsewhere, well, good luck finding it with Grez, because he's not on a podcast at the moment. He's mine! All mine!
Yep, I've actually just had the gag taken out of my mouth and the handcuffs taken off just so I can record this.
And meanwhile, if you want to hear me elsewhere, you can listen to the DCAU podcast where Rebecca and I discuss DC animated movies.
And on the occasion, you can find me there. If you miss.
Hi, I'm Alan.
I'm Grizz.
And you're listening to Rise of the Robots. This week, we're doing a RoboNerd special!
Nerd! Pause for the music, despite the fact that this isn't editing. Yep, we are just on the road, back from a fun little day in a car park in Wolverhampton.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know what you're complaining about. You're not the fucker who had to drive the whole way there and back.
True. I just had to sit here. Being all dashing. So, any particular moments that stood out for you at this year's RoboNerd?
This is the first time we've went. So, it was awesome to get to meet. So we met Mike Franklin, John Reed, the Rose Brothers, you know, these people who are all figures from your childhood, and
yeah.
And it's brilliant to see their reaction as well, because I think there is particularly, I know this was Hypnodisc's first year at RoboNerd, there was this sort of, oh fuck, people are really, really desperate to talk to us.
Yeah. And that we did. So, we got there pretty much bang on time. We had a delicious breakfast at the pub, and then we went out, started looking at robots. They are up on my personal Facebook, I suppose. If you feel like going there, you can see the photos that I put up. Then we kind of stowed about. There was someone that had a little gauntlet area,
yes,
set up for hex bugs. That was pretty fun.
Yeah.
There was ant weights.
Let's be honest, Chris. You only like the gauntlet because you beat me.
I did beat you. So now I get to drive the robot. It's confirmed. That was the deal. There was ant weights. There was robot football. There was giant Lego displays, which I thought at one point they were just going to let us, you know, have a battle with. Sadly, that's not the case. We done the quiz.
Yes, and we won by a point.
No, it was by like.
No, it was by a point.
No.
52-51.
No, we had 59.
We had 52.
No, we didn't. Like, we can look at this later, because I have the sheet still on me. I'm positive we had, like, 59 points.
We had 52 and they had 51.
Okay, right, well.
We should have had 55, because we got 4 answers right and then we fucking changed them.
Yep, we're like, oh, I'm not sure about this one. Hydra? Nah, scribble it. Probably Bronco. Oh, it was Hydra, you bastard. Yeah, we should obviously preface that there was more people in the team than just us two, despite the fact we were Team ROTR. So they were representatives. But on top of all that, we did manage to speak to a few different individuals and managed to get their consent to have them be recorded. So we will play the 5 interviews that we got, including the one that I'd done myself with my favorite robot and with an audience. So listen to the quiver of my voice when I speak to Team Hypnodisc, and how much I'm clearly trying to ignore the like 20 people that are surrounding us. But
also yep. sit in the background looking like a worried producer.
Yes. Well, at least it wasn't the worst. Like, I managed to get that done in one take, which is more than I could say for one of the other interviews where I just went, "How's it?" Pause. Right, let's take that again. So, here are the interviews from this year's RoboNerd. So Chris, back on Rise of the Robots here, live at RoboNerd, and I am here with my childhood hero, Hypnodisc, and the Rose twins. How are you guys doing? Jesus Christ, I'm starting to shake. How are you guys doing?
So we're here at RoboNerd. It's been a great day, and we've thoroughly enjoyed ourselves.
Yeah.
Absolutely been brilliant. It's been fantastic to see everybody.
Standing here in the scorching heat.
Well, it's surprising, isn't it, for UK? Have a good day.
I know. I was petrified that it was going to start raining the second we got here, but managed to stay clear. Just a quick couple of questions. Your time, you've had a hell of a career in Robot Wars. What have been some of the best and some of the worst times that you have maybe had?
I think the best time was got to be Robageddon, our first fight on Robot Wars. It sort of verified the robot design and, you know, what we aim to do. You know, that single fight really verified that we were sort of successful in what we aim to do, even if we lost the next fight. You know, we consider that
you put your name on the map.
I think apart from the battles, things that I used to really enjoy was seeing the younger you know, families coming up to see the robot. You know, they were so surprised about the size of the machine, and hopefully it was those events that inspired a new generation of engineers, and I think perhaps that has been the case.
Yeah,
and if it has, I'm pleased that we've done what we did.
Well, myself and my co-host, we are considering trying to, well, bought all the parts for our robot, not got that far yet, but the first step is buying the stuff, so we're one step closer than we were ever, really, to be honest. With low lights, I don't want to exactly be negative, but like, you've got to take good with the bad sometimes, especially in a sport like this.
It's the good and the bad, and you put yourself in the arena, and it can go your way and it can't. If it doesn't go your way, you've just got to take it on the chin, like some of the people that we've beaten in the past.
Yeah, totally.
It can go either way. I mean, one of the things that probably got me most was the criticism of the Dominator fight.
Oh yeah.
When I think that they said that was the most boring fight ever in Robot Wars.
It's debatable.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason why we did that was a follow-on from why we sort of partly lost to Chaos was disabled Chaos actually on one of his drives, and the second hit freed him back up again, and that allowed him to attack us and flip us over. So we didn't want to make the same mistake again against Dominator. We whacked him a couple of good times, and that actually broke a capacitor off one of his drive boards, which disabled one of his sides.
Yeah, so
that was pretty much disabled the robot. So all we had to do was to run the clock down.
Yeah, wait
and win. Now, potentially, what we would have done if we'd have attacked him again, could have freed him up,
put it back in your place,
and he comes back and gets us. Yeah. So, that sort of stung a little bit, really. But the name of the game was to win, and we that was the result, and we got through.
Well, since you mentioned this Dominator fight specifically, like, was there ever any like kind of worry that maybe Dominator could have done something similar to what Shunt has done to you?
Well, absolutely, and that was part of the reason why we were so tentative against Dominator. No. One of the most powerful axes in Robot Wars, like Terahertz or Kilohertz back then. We had to be very wary. So that's why we were a little bit careful about going back in for another whack, because he always had that axe aiming towards us.
Well, if we had gone in for another attempt at disabling him further and we'd lost, it would have been saying, why didn't you stay back? So it was
damned if you do, damned if
we
don't.
We were, this is the way things go.
Dominator was a fantastic robot, all titanium shell, very powerful axe. Yeah, we had to give him a lot of respect.
Yeah, totally. Well, that's brilliant. Thank you so much, guys. I really appreciate it, and thanks for coming.
Cheers.
It's Grizz and Alan back here live at RoboNerd, and we are here with Ellis of Pulsar, Magnetar, and of Sandstorm, which we will see much later on in, was it King of Bots?
King of Bots. This is fighting robots, King of Bots.
Yeah. This is fighting robots. Yes. First of all, have you enjoyed today?
Yeah, no, it's been good. We've had, I know it's a very British thing to say, but the weather's been really nice. I suspect we're going to have some very pink Brits by the end of this evening.
I think the back of my neck is burning.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, it's been a really nice day. We've had a bit of fun in the beta weights with football and Gizmo, my beta weight. Had a bit of a naff start, but in the second round, I think I scored 10 goals, something silly. We went deep into the lead of that, so that's good fun. So looking forward to an evening meal. It's a nice day.
Yeah. Well, we're just a couple of quick little questions. So from your time in Robot Wars, and even you can extend it to China. What are sort of just some of the best and maybe some of the worst moments that you've kind of had through your sort of career as a roboteer?
Well, it's always been that I bite off just a bit too much to chew, probably more than just a bit, but way too much to chew. So we've always had such an incredible effort to try and get to the show in the first place. So for the first series 8, we were 2 days late to filming, and we got bumped into being a reserve because we were late, and then we got back in because we were the favoured reserve, so we got back in. So you know, those ups and downs of even getting to the event before we even had any combat or any filming.
Greatest standing robot in Robot Wars,
Pulsar 1. I still don't really know why. It had a tiny little weapon, but it made a great noise. But yeah, so
maybe it was the acoustics.
It's the shape of the wedge on Pulsar and Magnetar around the weapon drum means that you kind of act a bit like a siren. You get like the effect of the air being compressed by the drum. But yeah, in terms of
Hypnosis is leaving.
Oh, there they go.
Into the darkness.
In terms of experiences, I remember that moment where we got brought back in for Series 8 with Pulsar, which was on TV. And that kind of moment, we were actually packing up, and that was all completely legitimate as it was filmed, is how it happened. So we didn't know, we thought we were done. Got brought back in, obviously did all right in that heat. And I remember specifically another time with Magnetar a couple of years later, where I can't remember how much it was depicted on the show, but it was Pulsar, sorry, I'm wrong, same chassis, I get them confused sometimes. Pulsar, so Series 9, where I've got quite a good amount of tenacity. I can go a long time, I can sleep very little and go for many hours. But I was beaten in Series 9 for the first time in basically my life, where we were out of speed controllers, out of motors, it just wasn't working, and I basically had to sit down and give up, which was a really weird experience for me. And then the moment where I had the idea of using the self-righteous speed controller, which is also captured on film, and that's on the episode, for I think in our heat for with Pulsar in Series 9, that was a pretty epic moment too. So yeah, lots of, and then China's just crazy. China's such a life experience, there's too many stories to tell.
Oh yeah.
Was that the one with the cold chicken?
No, that was
the other one. Don't talk about KFC Death Camp.
No.
as it's affectionately known. No, I did This Is Fighting Robots and King of Bots, then This Is Fighting Robots, and actually King of Bots again.
Yeah.
And the last one was a bit damp, but the first and second events were really good fun. Yeah. So lots of good memories.
Yeah, because season 2, regular season 2 of King of Bots was absolute insanity.
It was, and obviously I did compete in that. I took Hounds, a Clusterbot vertical spinner drums, with a friend of mine called Andy, and we were in some sort of side entry to the competition rather than being in the main bracket.
Yeah.
And that meant that we were there for 3 weeks in Shanghai, and for the first two we were just waiting to be brought into the show, and they kept changing the format. And it came to last week, and then we were told that we would fight an opponent and then stay in the arena and fight the next one basically until someone died. So a very different format to the, and I didn't necessarily hate it.
It was like a survivor.
I can imagine the battery wouldn't have enjoyed it.
No, exactly. So robots aren't designed to do that. So it wasn't an awful thing, but it did mean that entire very expensive robot build has had a total of 2 minutes of arena time ever.
Yeah.
So, and then it's obviously in some weird Chinese fever dream format,
and you can't
with celebrities.
So,
it's actually those robots, the Hounds, are currently in Andy's wife's mum's shed in King's Cross in London. So they are a bit of a distance from us right now. I'll rescue them at some point.
Yeah, well, that's amazing. Thank you so much for your time today.
No worries.
And I hope you enjoy the rest of your day.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.
Amazing. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Cheers.
We're back here live at RoboNerd. It's the Grizz here, and I'm with the cheer himself. So, what was the best and worst experience of Robot Wars? You can't say mentioned that already. Well, obviously, winning the show is a fantastic moment. But actually, weirdly, the best moment, the thing I remember the most, is something that probably only two or three people have seen. And that was one of the Technogames things. We had to do an audition. And it was quite bizarre, but they changed the crew for Technogames. So they didn't know the machines, they didn't know the robots. And so we were invited up to RAF Bingham for a day. And of course, okay, we've got to trudge up there, bring the robot. And they set up this little course. It was like a little football, pinball style course. A bit like the gauntlet in the first series, but with no robots or anything in it. Just you had to put a ball in the goal and drive around a cone and all that sort of silly stuff. And it was on the concrete floor of the pits area,
right,
with just these crappy barriers around it. And it's the piece of driving I remember the best, because I went in there, and Derek Foxwell, the technical guy for Robot Wars and Technogames, came over and said, "I want to watch this," he said. And I'm thinking, oh dear, the pressure's on there. And I take the robot, and it's really slippery. So I'm power sliding the robot around the corners, and I just complete the course, and we do it in about 40, 50 seconds or whatever it was. And Derek taps me on the shoulder and says, "Just do that again." I'm sorry. Power slide the robot around the corners, do it all again. And there's no ball in the goal, because I already put the ball in the goal. Okay, I'll just pretend to do that. So I pause there and then carry on and finish it all. I finish it, yeah, thank you for that. And Derek walks off. And obviously, he got us on the show. But that thing, there was a little camcorder there recording it. So somewhere, that footage existed, at least for a while. The tape's probably in a skip now. But that moment was absolutely my favourite, because it was just the pleasure of driving the thing and just jumping in and throwing it around and sliding it about and still doing what they wanted and showing what the machine could do. And
I just loved Tokyo Drift.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it was great.
Makes me sad to hear it was never there for the gauntlet.
We designed it for it. If you look at the machine as it is without the front on it at the moment, the ground clearance is huge. It was designed for getting up ramps and for doing the gauntlet.
Yeah.
The fact that they got rid of it by the time we'd actually built the damn thing and got to the show is another matter.
So worst
thing. I'm sure you know what it is. It's Dirtor.
Okay, well, glad I don't need to ask this question.
What actually happened? Because it just
happened is we were lazy.
Yeah, because
we've come from Series 4, we've done well, we've come from various live events, the machine's running great, we're not going to take it apart, we know what we're doing. Yeah, that was, we took a hard fall when,
fall from grace,
basically the drivetrain broke. We used part of a go-kart clutch and that part was cracked.
Yeah.
And we didn't notice because we didn't take it apart. And so it cracked properly under load while we're trying to push Dirtor about. All the teeth came off that gear. Suddenly, no drive on one side. Dirtor's got the front of us lifted up. We're in the pit. It was a hard pill to swallow and a hard lesson well learned.
Oh, yeah. Always check a robot.
Because the edit is so weird, because what you actually see is the two robots are going to push in against each other, and then suddenly, Tornado's limping over here for some reason.
And then you just appear on the other side of the arena, going into the pit, and it's like, that was the weirdest editing ever.
It's typical Mentorn edits where they move things around. We were having a pushing match with them, and then suddenly, we've got no drive, and it was just straight backwards, down the pit, done.
Well, thank you for your time, and thank you for being a good sport.
Cheers, gents.
Cheers.
We're back again at RoboNerd. We're here with Grant of Team Quantum. How have you enjoyed today?
Yeah, it's been really good. We've not been to many events this year. It's really good to get out and see everyone.
Yeah. I know, like, your robot is stunningly beautiful in person, I must admit.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I mean, it's always been regarded as one of the most, best-looking robots, but seeing it in person today is something that's just kind of...
took a step back, like, God, you're beautiful.
That's one of the things we've always tried to do. We enjoy the build and the design side of things just as much as the actual competition itself. So, yeah, we take a lot of pride in what we're building. So, yeah, we do it to the best we can.
Absolutely. Well, so throughout your career, like, do you have any, like, sort of, like, highs and lows of, like, what you've kind of been through? And through, obviously, this spans between, like, anywhere, like, BattleBots and then China and anywhere else in between.
Obviously, the first King of Bots we did in 2017 with the first Spectre, that was a massive highlight for us, going out with our first version of a whole new concept for us and winning the World Championships with that. That was that was really good.
I've still watched it.
Well, spoilers.
But yeah, we've had ups and downs since. We did really well at King of Bots, and then came back to BattleBots in 2019. Quantum did okay. Like, we got to the, I think, round of 16, and people didn't expect it to get that far, but we were a bit disappointed with the performance it gave. It didn't feel like a savage and as fast and aggressive as it had been in King of Bots.
Yeah.
We still don't really know why, but then we've made some tweaks and improvements and changes for this latest series, and it was back to how it should be. It drove really well. And we did really well until we didn't. And that fight with Ribot is a mistake that we made.
To be honest, I was definitely rooting for you to win that fight. No disrespect to Ribot, obviously.
Yeah, it's a great machine. Yeah. It's a savage thing.
I think that's the thing. Is like, it's when it comes to Ribot, it's... what's the word? It's like kind of... not unlikely, but like it really comes out of nowhere. Yeah, like,
you don't expect it, but we had the opportunity to win that fight quite easily at the start with them getting stuck, and we didn't take the opportunity, and that's unfortunately with BattleBots and fighting robots.
You ended up on your back.
Yeah, that's what happens. But we're quite lucky when you see so many of the robots that have come out of King of Bots, Robot Wars, and BattleBots completely destroyed. We've been lucky that although we've lost fights and taken damage, we've not written off a robot yet. And
people feel guilty. It would be like destroying a work of art.
This is part of the reason that we didn't just go in straight up by Ribot. They asked us not to if they were stuck. Uh-huh. And if we just go in and just destroy machines, what at the time to us seemed unnecessarily, looking back, we probably should have done. We don't want that necessarily reciprocated and unnecessary damage being caused. The amount of work this thing is to build, we only have one. We try and respect other people's machines the same as we respect our own. Sometimes that comes to bite you in the ass. But
no pun intended.
Is there any opponent you'd have liked to have fought that you haven't, or...?
One robot we really wanted to fight was Shredderator. We finally managed to have that fight last season. There have been a number of opportunities fighting in China where we got very close to fighting and it didn't quite happen. So it was great that we actually finally got to have that match. And we've always wanted to fight Megabyte as well, but probably for the same reasons as Shred. They're two very powerful horizontals, and we don't really know how we fare against them. We have fought horizontals like Valkyrie, and it stood up well. Tombstone, we didn't take much damage from on the front end, but it didn't last long. So it'd be nice to see just how well the machine stands up to that kind of abuse. Yep.
Oh yeah. So how much do you think like it can stand up to? Like, what if you could pick a robot that you think?
To be fair, I think in the Tombstone fight in 2019, if we hadn't have flipped upside down, and I think that's a bit of a freak thing as to how that happened.
Yeah.
We'd have carried on. Nothing was broken. Nothing. Very minimal damage to the armor. Mm-hmm. I think we'd have had a good chance against them.
Yeah.
But being upside down, we were sitting duck. There's not much we could do. But I think we could take the power of most horizontals now.
Oh yeah.
It's the verticals the ground game with verticals is what we struggle with.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And I don't know how we saw that yet.
Well, I suppose you've got now until next season to try and figure that out. So back to the drawing board and maybe see what we can paint.
Yeah, pretty much. We'll look over the whole machine from scratch and see where the weaknesses are and see where we can improve it. I think we've got another version of Quantum in us yet. So
Well, absolutely. Good luck with that, and thank you very much for
thank
your time
you
today.
Your
it's no been really appreciated. We're back at RoboNerd here, and now we're here with Simon, the person that put all this together, and also of King Buxton. and King B and King B Power Works, King B Remix, and King B Burger and Fries.
Great balls of fire.
So is that the next one?
Yeah, I guess so. Why not? Eh? I didn't put this together so much this year. I was just the man in the background who said, yeah, why don't we do it? But Jamie and Jevon have done really good actually this year, and Craig as well. But we've got a big gang. It's kind of hard work, and no one's getting paid. But I'm glad everyone's really cranked up their efforts, and it's lovely, I think.
Yeah. Well, it's been our first one here. Don't know if it's going to be the last. Hopefully not. But it's been an absolute blast today. But basically, I want to ask you just a few quick questions just about your old Robot Wars career.
How dare you? Go on.
Well, yeah, that's what brought us here today.
Yeah.
Any stories that you have, like maybe of some good or bad times that you maybe had just sort of throughout
your... They've all been bad times. No, it's all good. It was all good. I should have stopped straight away because it got worse. No, it's been fine. I mean, as I say, I think, I don't know if I said it. I mean, this is exactly 25 years since I started, plus 2 weeks, I think. I think we filmed series two in August. Now it's just beginning of September. So a quarter of a century ago, I started this madness. But I kind of a little bit... Series 8, you know, Series 8 came back with Series 1 of the reboot.
Yeah.
And my biggest regret is that was so awful because we put in an old machine which was already rubbish by those times. And I kind of thinking that I wish I'd made one really, really, really good machine, you know, like it was in when I started. And I look back and thinking I was just hanging on to the same thing, but on the other side of the coin, I'm glad I did as well. It's like I didn't give up on it. So it's a really mixed feeling. It's a really crazy, and being able to look back, it's makes it even more poignant.
Four-wheel vert, it is the meta.
Well, it's four-wheel drive. I mean, the thing is, it's the spikes. Well, there must be a reason no one else is doing spikes very much, are they? I mean, let's face it, you've got a lot of fixed spikes on, you know, verts now, but no one's doing them as lifters. I mean, why carry on with it? I mean, what was I thinking? God, I'm stupid.
Still makes you stand out.
Well, yeah, I think that's why I stood with it. I don't like to be... I mean, not saying it's easy to make a spinner of any sort. It's not easy, but it could have been so easy to do and get in early with that sort of crowd. But somehow I just stayed with King B because it was almost like the demand, in a way. It's like when they phoned up and said, you know, oh, what have you got? And it's like, well, you got King B. And you kind of got... I felt a bit typecast. I suppose you see actors and say that...
I'm not silver anymore.
Mine's silver. Oh, well, there is a new one, but it's just taken me 4 years to build, and that's silver.
Because awesome.
It's just taking so long. I keep putting snippets out saying, this will be done soon, and it's never done soon, but I'm trying to make a spinner-proof one, which is actually, I think, it's not so much spinner-proof, but it's more easily repairable if it gets spun to pieces, because I'm just doing a smaller chassis with a big baggy Hardox sort of case, as it were. We can just throw it away and put another one on, because it's cheaper to keep a chassis than to keep building a whole machine. And as it's a chassis based robot, when I've never had to really do much replacement to any chassis, I got a bit bent in America, but that, you know, it's just a bit of welding and they come back. Whereas if you've got like a monocoque machine, it's a whole new ball game of building six machines. So my theory at the moment, I've got a small, all, you know, everything's quite compact, and just put a big baggy disposable King B-esque shape around it, I suppose. And the spikes are staying, but they're going to be slightly more resilient, so it might happen, we don't know. Just in case, when Robot Wars comes out, say just in case.
Yeah,
just when it does. Yeah. I live in hope. I can do it for another 25 years.
I think we're all fingers crossed on that one.
Yeah.
But why did you drop the Buxton? Because I always thought that was the best part of the name.
It still is sort of Buxton, but it's just... I don't know. King B, King Buxton. I don't know. It's just because every year I just wanted to differentiate each slight evolution and just make them a bit different. Because otherwise I'd probably get bored myself. I just felt like I could identify each one, like a little badge on each one.
Yeah.
But in my heart, it's still King Buxton. But people, I had to explain too many times who the hell King Buxton is.
Mm-hmm.
And it got a long story, and it got longer and longer and harder to tell people.
Well, we've got nothing but time.
You don't know. When's this end? The sun's going down now, isn't it?
Did you ever find, because one of the things that's been so wonderful to watch, we've had Hetna Desk in today. I don't think they were expecting the reception they got.
I know, they're flabbergasted, aren't they? I love the look on their face, because I feel like, you know, with all their experience and what they are, they look like little, they're lost here. They were totally looked like they're out, overwhelmed and out of their, out of place in a way. And like, you think what they've done in the years previous, and you turn up here and they turn up all sheepish with this thing that everyone's so in awe of. It's like, oh, you know, we sort of thought it popped along, and they know it's good, they know in their hearts, but still on their faces I still think they seem to really enjoy it, and everyone really enjoyed them being here. And it's part of what is, you know, Robonerd, to see stuff like that.
Is there anyone who's not been to Robonerd you'd like to see?
Yes.
Happy birthday,
Felix. And who, apart from Chaos too?
Yeah. I tell you what, my personal favourite robot ever. I've got a few, obviously, that are close to my heart. But if I say I really love Warhead, in that
yes.
I believe that epitomises the best of what is kind of like old school, but done so to the point of art.
Yeah.
That I can't want to see a robot more. I did run into it very briefly. They were testing it somewhere, and I can't remember. I think it was like they sneaked it into like a some preview at a Robot Wars event or something, and I didn't even know what they were doing, what they had, until later, and it was gone. Yeah. And I wish I'd had another look, you know. But that was years and years ago.
I remember because we just did the BattleBots unaired fights, which, see, listening to it without commentary, without all the sound effects over the top, and go, that thing is terrifying.
I know. The early version with the engine in it, the proper internal combustion engine version, when they put the electric motors in it, I mean, I told Ian, I bumped into him for some reason. Or was it, I think it was Ian, or was it Simon? I can't remember. But anyway, I told one of them, I said, what have you done? You put an electric motor in it. When they first came to BattleBots, I think with a single motor, and they said, oh, don't worry, when you see it again, it's like dual motor or something. There was something about the screaming engine, and they, you know, and the way they'd set it up, even the sound of it was pure art and theatre. And I'm still of the mind, in my, you know, in my experience, like, they used to go to the filming early on, they said, look, don't forget, this is a show. And I'm still in the mode of, it's a show, and this is why I want this to happen as well, because it's all a show. People get very serious about this, that and the other, and the arena's not too flat or not flat enough or this, and I tell you, far too serious. Look at what you've got in the way of fantastic art and theatre, that is things like Warhead.
Yeah. Well, one of the most iconic long series battles was you guys in 101, two robots that between you had spikes.
Yeah, I know.
And it was one of the most intense rivalries of the entire
show. I've got a wheel. I haven't got it out. I've got a wheel with a 101 spike. It's a tiny little hole gone through it. I'll show it to you. It's the only... He's done two pieces of damage to that spike. But you couldn't see it. It did do damage, actually, that pneumatic spike.
Uh-huh.
And I'll show you. Yeah.
I always wondered, to be honest. Well, thank you so much for your time. It's been greatly appreciated.
Thank you for coming and spending the time getting down here. I'm always very impressed that everyone who's travelled and
gone
so far.
Someone came over from America.
I know, it's Australians here and all sorts.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll have to shut this down because, you know, global warming or something. People travelling around. I mean, it's not too much, isn't it?
I mean, it is pretty warm.
Yeah.
But thanks
thank
again.
You
I really appreciate it.
Grizz.
And we're back.
How much? What was the point total, Grizz?
32. Okay, you didn't need victory music, for fuck's sake. Anyway, that was our bonus episode of R2ER Does Robo Nerd. Will it come back again next year? I don't know.
I'm not doing that drive again.
Well, if it was going to be a one and done, then we had a great time. So thank you to everyone that was involved, and we hope you enjoyed the interviews. See you next week.